directing R&D project execution and future growth. Prior to his current position, Dr. Wu was vice president of data storage technology at Marvell. In this role, he led the engineering groups that delivered innovative technologies and products for the hard disk drive and solid state drive controllers. Dr. Wu holds a Bachelor of Science degree in electronic engineering from Tsinghua University in Beijing, China, and a Master of Science degree and PhD in electrical engineering from Stanford University. Please welcome Dr. Wu.
Here, if we chart this performance over cost, it follows almost a straight line. I call this a line of trade-off. So it's because of this line trade-off, all those different type of memory, different type of storage can coexist. Right? Otherwise, if you think about this, if something gets too much off the line, if it's this one type of storage totally above the line, it should just dominate the market. If one of the storage type is totally below the line, it shouldn't exist to start with. So this is the line of trade-off. Along the line of trade-off, we can mix and match and supposedly a hybrid different type of storage media and create something with even better performance at a lower cost. Right? For example, people have done this, right? Put a hybrid of SSD and hard disk drive together. By doing that, we can achieve a cost close to hard disk drive and a performance close to SSD. So that one is already shown in some prototype. Now, the question is, can we achieve something even better with the new class, storage class memory, the storage class memory type of NVM? So can we achieve something at a cost close to maybe to NAND flash at the performance close to the DRAM? Right. Well, the answer is yes, we can do that, but the design is very tricky. Let's see why is that. First, let's review what we have done here, what the industry has done to bridge the gap between hard drive and SSD by doing a hybrid between these two media, SSD and HDD, right? So people put two layers of storage here, the first layer being SSD, and that potentially is a smaller SSD as a cache. And the second tier is a big hard drive with a lot of capacity built into it. So when CPU have the data read command, right, want to access some data, it first goes through an address lookup stage. It says that address is in the SSD cache or not. If it's in the cache, that's great. So we'll just get that data from SSD, right, and send it back to the CPU. And if not, then another layer of address lookup, and address translation need to happen. Right? Need to locate the data in hard disk drive, right, and get that data from hard disk drive, send it back to CPU. And in this process, it also needs to find out whether it needs to replace some of the old data in the SSD cache, right? So this is a well-known cache data replacement problem. So with that, basically, there are two tiers of address lookup, right? The first one is to look up whether it's already in SSD. The second tier, translation of a hard drive. And there's a data replacement cost associated with the second tier. So with that, let's take a look at the performance hit by doing this type of hybrid compared to just a one layer, one tier system. Here we use T1 as the time to delay the overhead for the first tier address lookup. And we use T2 to represent the second tier lookup. Okay. And here we assume there's a hard drive access time in the milliseconds. SSD in 100 microseconds, maybe this is MLC or TLC type. With that, we can see that our average access time is a function of this T1 and T2, right? And plus a function of the hit rate, the cache hit rate, and SSD access time, and the cache miss rate, and HDD access time. Right? And cache miss rate is just 1 minus the hit rate. So with that kind of average access time, the cost in mind, let's see if we want to design a system that performs within 1-2% of original SSD performance, right, what kind of design parameters we get and whether we can achieve it. So here I give example of two different design targets. One is 1% access penalty there on the left, and the second one is 2% access penalty. Right? That's the table on the right. So here, with this cache access or cache lookup hash lookup delay, T1, T2. And for different combination of T1, T2, we calculate the requirement on cache miss rate. So the cache miss rate has to be lower than this whatever listed on the table to make the whole system feasible, or to another way to put it, to achieve the 1% or 2% design target. As we can see here, in the first case, 1% performance penalty, it puts a pretty tough requirement on T1, T2, right? So if this cache lookup overhead is too much, right, T1, T2 becomes too high, no matter what you do, right, you cannot design a system because you need to require like zero cache miss, which is clearly not possible. As we get a better design and cache engine, so if we can reduce the overhead of cache lookup, in that case, we can relax our requirement on the cache miss rate. So in this example here, circled in the back column here, if T1 can be below 0.1 microsecond, T2 can be below 10 microseconds, which both of them are achievable, the required miss rate is close to 0.01%. So that's the rule. And of course, if we can relax on our requirement on the overall system performance, hybrid system performance, like the table on the right, then everything becomes much easier. T1, T2, miss rate, there are a lot of combinations that can make it work. So clearly, there's a trilemma between the performance target, between the cache overhead, T1, T2, and the miss rate requirement. Right? These three variables need to be balanced in a design, in system design. So from this example, we see that the first tier lookup time, T1, needs to be much shorter than SSD access time. So for that, like 0.1, like the black hollow circle there, 0.1 microsecond, that requires hardware-based design to do that. And the second tier overhead, T2, need to be far less than the hardest drive access time. And we give an example here in the tenth of microsecond. For that, 10 microseconds, that can be achieved with the software. And that's actually what people do these days. So T1, T2, basically here what we are showing is it kind of intuitively makes sense that it needs to be, each tier's cache overhead, it needs to be much less than the access time, cache access time. Another requirement, if we look at the miss rate, the cache miss rate, is for this type of system, we need a very high hit rate or very low miss rate. This is due to a large performance gap between the SSD and the hard disk drive, because we don't want to access hard disk drive. We try to avoid that. We try to avoid that the most. Try not to access it as much as possible. So whenever you have a large gap between two tiers, that make the design even more difficult with hybrid. So to achieve a very high hit rate, what we need to do is to have a very large cache and a very high associativity. High associativity means you should be able to place the data, the cache line, anywhere in the cache. That kind of freedom helps you to lower the miss rate. And that's actually exactly what people are doing with the current computer memory hierarchy. If you look at the typical computer today, it has all the way from L1 cache to hard disk drive with several layers of cache. It basically follows the two principles I just talked about in the previous slide. The first one being that from each tier, like high tier to lower tier, right, each tier going down there, it needs to achieve a lower and lower miss rate. That means the high rate needs to get higher and higher. That means you need to have a larger and larger number of entries when you go from one tier to the next. And you need to have higher and higher associativity when you go from one tier to the next. So here on the right side, you can see a comparison of a cache miss rate with different size of cache and different type of associativity. So basically, it confirms that the larger the cache size and the higher the associativity, the lower the miss rate. Right? So you can see that basically our current memory hierarchy is following this trend. And the second principle is that, okay, we have to have the cache overhead much, much smaller than the cache access time itself. So that dictates for the higher tiers, like L1, L2, the cache lookup engine has to be implemented in the hardware, pure hardware, simple hardware. While in the for the lower tiers, like the DRAM and HDD tiers, things can be handled in software. So in this typical memory hierarchy today, the higher tiers focus on performance to achieve the best performance. The lower tiers is focused on the highest possible hit rate and the cost, because we don't want to use them, so we want the hit rate to be as high as possible. So now let's see how we apply the same principle and same tiering idea to the new storage class memory. We'll call it the new NVM here. Here, I'm using the similar setup, try to make a two-tier storage by combining DRAM here with NVM. So DRAM will be the first tier, NVM will be the second tier. And NVM can be either SVM type of NVM, the new ones, right, as MRAM, RRAM, or it can be just plain NAND, right, the NAND flash. Let's see how it goes. So this time, we give our design target to be within 0.1% of the DRAM access time. Why that? Because now we are comparing the overall hybrid system to the DRAM, and DRAM is performance critical, so we can only take a very, very minimal penalty. So with that performance requirement, 0.1% penalty, and let's assume some cache miss rate about 0.005%, that's the first column, right? Then it turns out that if we use the new NVF, right, SCM type of NVF, because that access time is quite fast compared to NAND, we can achieve such design. We can achieve this design target of within 0.1% of penalty. Okay. But the requirement is the cache lookup overhead is to be within 0.2 microseconds or 200 nanoseconds. That's quite stringent. And if we try to use NAND as the second tier, it turns out no matter how you do it, it's just not achievable because NAND is too slow for this. A similar thing, if we drop our, if we can further decrease our cache miss rate, right? Instead of 0.05%, we can get to 0.05, like 4.5%. We can actually relax the rest of the design parameter, right? So even regular NAND can do it. But to achieve the 0.05%, that's possible, that's doable. To achieve the last one here is almost impossible in terms of cache miss rate. So that basically says, another way to look at this is that when we have those faster memory for us to tier, right, for us to put in the memory tier, we need a cache engine that goes consider the characteristic and access time of that layer, that tier of memory. So here, for example, I listed a relative time of the cache access time, NVM access time, versus the cache engine, right, overhead. We can see that if we stay with the old time, with NAND, right, because NAND access time is relatively slow to the new NVMs, so even if we do a software-based cache engine, it's okay. Right? Overhead is only like 2 to 3% negligible. But now, if we change to the new type of storage class, memory type of NVM, like RRAM, MRAM, now if we use the same software-based cache engine, it will dominate performance. Right? Software engine starts to dominate performance, and the whole overall system is going to take a big penalty. So in that case, we need to go to the rightmost column there, in the sense that we need to develop another hardware-based cache engine for the new NVMs. So with the new NVM, with the introduction of higher hardware-based cache engine, that can create another tier in the memory storage hierarchy. So we put SDM type of NVM right between SSD and DRAM. By doing so, our goal is to lower the requirement on DRAM. So instead of doing millions of entries in DRAM, we can reduce it potentially to hundreds of thousands of entries. So we can reduce the DRAM size and still keep the same performance. But that requires, remember the T1, T2 argument? That requires very fast design of the cache lookup engine. Or in other ways, to reduce, minimize overhead of cache lookup, both in the DRAM and the SCM and VM tier. So people may say, hey, it's no big deal, right? People know how to deal with that. Because in the past, the page table is like that. Page table is millions of entries, and we do lookup and so on. But here, it's this new cache engine is going to be much more difficult than page table lookup. Because on one side, it requires very high hit rate. So it requires millions of entries. We need to be able to go through millions of entries. On the other side, it requires a very low overhead by talking about nanosecond, right? Not millisecond. Not a millisecond that can be handled by software. It's nanosecond. So with these two extremes, right, extremely high hit rate, extremely low overhead, right, it makes the design very, very difficult, very challenging, and contradicting each other. Because on one side, large cache size, fully associative cache will be the best for hit rate. But in the same time, if you talk about large cache size, fully associated is terrible for the overhead. Okay. So how do we solve this problem? Well, luckily, we did figure out a hardware design. Right? We call it the final level cache. It's a cache engine, or FLC. It can achieve both the low miss rate and low overhead, and extremely low miss rate and extremely low overhead. So how do we achieve both? Well, for the low miss rate, we support very large cache. We support millions of entries with a very fast lookup. So we support the cache entry in the size of gigabytes, right, multiple gigabytes. And we also support large cache lines, right, 16 kilobyte or larger cache lines. And we support fully self-associative cache, so you can play data anywhere. In the meantime, we try to reduce the overhead by doing a pseudo CAM-based design to do full automated hardware-based lookup. And we do hardware-based replacement policy, pseudo-IRU replacement policy for that. So overall, we can achieve the overhead of less than 10 clock cycles, right, for this large type of millions of entries of a cache lookup engine. So with that, if we have a gigahertz clock, we can control the overhead to within 10 nanoseconds. So we put our FLC to test. We don't have NVM, the new class, storage class NVM. So we did that with the hybrid drive, SSD, hard drive hybrid. We can see that when we put our FLC engine together with the hard disk drive, it performs very close to the SSD, the one on the right. So in terms of if you look at the red bar, it's the PC mark overall score. It's basically the same as SSD. And if we look at the bandwidth, it's also in the same ballpark. So with FLC engine, we can essentially close the gap between two tiers of storage or storage memory. So that successfully addressed the performance issue. FLC engine, fast, can look up large cache, can bridge the gap between the new NVM and DRAM. That's great, we can put the new NVM into the storage hierarchy, right? But in the meantime, we need to also worry about cost, the cost of the lower tiers. Because even though the lower tiers, SSD and HDD is relatively cheap compared to the top tiers, still, the lower tiers, because we need so much of it, we need such a high, big capacity, the cost adds up. But good thing is I work in both hard drive and flash in the past. Both industry has did a lot of good work to bring down the cost. We just heard about 3D NAND, you have a model here. So with 3D NAND, in the next couple years, we do expect the cost of lower tiers to continue dropping. But another component of the cost is not just the material, not just the media, right? It's also the controller cost. And Marvell is a controller company. So I'm going to spend some time addressing the controller cost. Controller is basically SoC, right? And if we look at the SoC, the chip, right, what's the chip cost? Well, if it has some fixed cost, that's the R&D cost, the mass cost, and packaging and R&D. And that fixed cost got amortized over the chips that's sold for that design. The second component of the cost is the variable cost, that's per die cost. Right? Well, in the past, the fixed cost part, it, once it's amortized, it becomes a very small portion of the overall cost. That's the good news for the SoC industry. But going forward, right, people are predicting the cost of designing or manufacturing an SoC is skyrocketing. So people are talking about $300 million to develop a new generation of SoC in the 14 or 16 nanometer process. Of course, we can argue not all the new SoCs need to completely new design. So not every SoC will cost that much. But nevertheless, even we put a modest estimate, just say $100 million to develop SoC, that cost is still a big error in terms of the unit cost. So we can see that in this equation here, all the top three numerators are increasing. The R&D cost, mass cost, packaging R&D increasing. Number of chips could potentially decrease because the market got more and more segmented. If you want to use one design for one segment, you cannot sell too much. So the number of chips decrease. So the amortized fixed cost becomes a bigger, bigger portion of the overall unit cost. To see how bad things are, let's just assume a modest design, a $40 million R&D cost design for an SoC, plus a $7.5 million NRE, that's the masking NRE, packaging RE. With that, and let's assume like you have certain volume and see how much we can amortize over the volume. We see that even selling this design at 10 million units, which is not small, we still bear almost $5 of amortized cost for this. Right? So the clearly going to the advanced CMOS technology, the amortized cost, or amortized fixed cost is well, we can potentially solve this problem by an idea that we have been developing at Marvell. We call it modular chips, or MoChi. Right? The idea goes like this. Instead of, for example, we want to address two stock market, one mid-capacity, one high-capacity. Right? So instead of do one design for each, which at the end probably cost about $50 million R&D cost for the first chip, and since the second chip is a derivative, it's similar, so it costs less, let's just assume it's 20 million. So overall 70 million development cost. Then we address this both market, right, with two chips. Instead of doing that, with our modular chip design, we can do one chip and add a high-speed interface to that chip. By doing so, we can use one design to address both markets. When we need to address the higher capacity market, we just connect two of them together through this we call it modular chip interconnect or MoChi interconnect. Right? So when we package two controllers together, we can drive a bigger capacity. If we just need to deal with smaller capacity, we just use one. So by doing so, we don't need to develop two chips. We save $20 million development cost. So apparently the most important thing in this design is the interconnect, is the MCI, right? MoChi interconnect. It needs to be transparent, it needs to be low power, and very high speed. Unfortunately, we have all this in our design already. Well, what we did is so we have a design of this MCI, and we put it in test in the full SoC. Right? So we test, in this case, uplink, we test the SATA speed with the native SATA connection, and the lower link, we test the SATA speed going through this MoChi interconnect, right, MCI interconnect. And to connect to that MoChi, we need a bridge, right, to bridge between the MoChi and the study. The good thing is, from our testing results in the lab, there's really no performance difference between the native case and the Mochi case. So we do have a solution for interconnecting chips to make it better. So, to summarize, right, let's go back to our problems again. First of all, where we started, right? Well, we know there's data explosion. And with data explosion, with more analytics being done, cloud computing and everything, it's all about data access. It's all about getting data when needed and getting them at the right cost. And we see that to achieve that, multi-tier storage system is still essential in today's world, and probably even more so in the new, with the new SDM type of NVM. And we introduced, we talked about how tricky it is to design a good cache engine for the NVM tiers, and we introduced a good design that can achieve nanosecond of delay with millions of entries. And we introduced expandable controllers through our OGE mechanism. That concludes my talk. Thank you.